Okay. The topic that we're going to discuss by this year is the topic of copyright, patent, intellectual property. What's that? The tape for this year, exactly. The tape for this year we'll have to discuss. And we'll have to also discuss at the same time, you know, the basic concept of Hasidus Gevil, which, you know, Hasidus Gevil really should be a subject of its own, when there is Hasidus Gevil and when there's no Hasidus Gevil. But this is the basic subject that we're going to deal with. Now, when we discuss a copyright, there are two types of copyrights that we can possibly deal with. There is one copyright where, for example, you have a publisher who the publisher takes, you know, a certain work which in theory would be considered the public domain. So, for example, he takes a Shas, he takes the Rambam, and he puts his effort into printing that Shas and Rambam, and then he prints it, he disseminates it, and what happens is, in order for him to re-earn his investment, to take out his investment, what he needs to do is, he needs to sell a certain number of copies in order to cover his original expenses. There's another concept in copyright, and that will be that a person, he composes a song, a person has a idea, somebody has a concept, and when a person, it's a new composition, and there it's a much more complicated question. The question is, by the fact that a person thought of a concept or he invented something, does that invention automatically belong to the person or not? Okay, those are the two important questions that need to be answered, and once we answer those two questions, we'll be able to apply those questions to the halacha lemaaseh. Now, I just want to throw out one thought, and you'll see right away that to say that everybody's invention belongs to them is not all that simple. If a person says a shir, and by the shir he says this gewaltig tzura, he says this brilliant tzura by the shir, does he have a right to say to all the people after the shir, by the way, that concept that I said by the shir today, you have no right to go out and repeat it. You got to keep that concept here to yourself, and you cannot repeat. A person tells you a joke. Does he have the ability to answer that you shouldn't repeat that joke? Does a person's concept belong to him or not? It's not at all simple to say that it actually does. Now, what's interesting about this subject is that in the time of Shas, his kamat didn't exist. His patents kamat didn't exist in the time of Shas. And the Pashtus and Shas on the early Rishonim, there is no mention whatsoever of this concept. And I'll show you soon that the first tshuva that I found that directly discusses the concept of intellectual property was from the Shoyim Meshev in the 1800s, about a year, his name was Reb Moshe Yaakov Horoshev, who invented the first calculator, he writes. So I don't know what the, exactly which calculator he invented, but I want to go back a few years earlier to the time of the Ramu. In the time of the Ramu, there was a Yid, his name was Reb Moshe Katzen Ellenbogen. Reb Moshe Katzen Ellenbogen was none other than the Maram Padova. The Maram Padova invested a lot of time to print the Rambam. The original Mishnah Torah of the Rambam had many mistakes, and he spent his time, he spent many hours, and he was magia this Rambam. After the Maram Padova put his effort into doing that, he went and he got a Goyisha printer who printed the first set of the Rambam. Now what's interesting is that there were two Goyisha printers in that time. One was the printer that the Maram Padova used. It was a small-time printer. And there was a big-time printer. His name was Marc Antonio Astinian, was the name of this Goy. And the Goy was very, very upset that the Maram Padova didn't use him specifically in order to print the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam that he was Magia, that he reworked. So what the guy decided to do was, he decided he was going to undercut the Maram Padova, and he went and he printed loads and loads of the original Rambam, and he sold it for a fraction of the cost of even printing it. And he basically, what he did was, he flooded the market with these very, very cheap Rambams, and now nobody would buy the Rambam of the Maram Padova. So the Maran Padre had a problem, and who did he turn to? He turned to the Chalitzik in his time, and that was none other than the Ramu, who was the Ruv of his city, who was the Ruv of Krupa. Okay. Now, what happened was, the Ramu starts off his Shiva, and it's a very interesting Shiva. The Shiva is in Simon Yud, in Shalva Shiva to Ramu. And the first part of the Shiva, the Ramu discusses, do I, as a Dayan, have a right with my Bezdin to write a psak that the Goy is bound by my psak or not? That's the first question, because now you suddenly have a Dintayra between a Yid and a Goy, and the Goy is not really coming to Dintayra. So the Ramu writes a Shiva, a lengthy Shiva based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that when we do a psak, the Alpitayra, the Goy, I'm bound by it, and the this Mark Antonio Athenian, the Goy, has a chiyuv to listen to the psak of the Ramu. Now the Ramu then writes four reasons why it's Usa, and you have no right to buy the Rambam that the Goy printed. And the Ramu Shiva is on page number 2. It's based on a Gemara in the Sechus Bolivasa. Was the original Rambam. So where's the copyright? So we're not up to that yet. We're gonna go step by step. Here really we're dealing more with a case of a flat out Hasidic Gevil is what we're really discussing in this case. Because or I'll say it in different words, when it's Buri Hezeka. That's what's actually happening. Now the reason why we need to introduce this case at the beginning of this year is very often a person's going to go and he's going to take your invention and copy it in a way where you can't continue to do business. So that's why we're mentioning this case at the Hagdoma. The concept of the, and by the way, because of this story, that's when copyright started. The history of copyright only started because of this story. I'll show you that momentarily. The Sefer writes that after this Shiva of the Ramu, the first Yiddish copyright came out. There were no Yiddish copyrights before this Shiva. So give me a few moments, we'll do the Shiva of the Ramu, and then I'll show you the Sefer that says that this is the origin of copyright. It says as follows. But Jonathan's right. This story in its own, so far, is not a copyright story. 100% agreed. Now, the Gemara says as follows in the Sefer of the Bavasa from Alice on the Bay. Omer of Hinna, Hinna tells us, Hai bar mevoya, a man that lives in a movie, the oikere chaya, he has a mill, the usa bar mevoya chavre, another person in his community who lives in that city brings his own mill, it's a mighty gabai, and what does he do? He puts the mill right next to his mill. Okay, so this now he has competition, somebody opens up the same store in the same community, the same factory next door to his. So the Gemara says, Dina hi, the aloha is, the ma'akev in lavayu. You can stop him. Why? No malaya, because you can say to him, Hu pesaktu laya l'chi yisui. You are ruining my livelihood. I cannot continue to compete and make a living. So that's the basic concept of Hasugas Gevil. Now note, we do not have to like this case in Shulchan Aruch. We'll see soon the Gemara says that it depends that you're only not allowed to go and be Master Gevil if you're from another community. For example, I live in New Jersey, and there's another person has a chocolate store on Avenue M. And I come from New Jersey, and I open another chocolate store next door to him on Avenue M. But on the other hand, if I live in New York, the Gemara is going to say at the end, the two of us live in the same city, so Al-Til Chasugat Gevil, since I'm a Ben Ear, I have a right to compete, because it's open competition, everybody has a right to do the same thing, except in the one case which we're going to conclude at the end, which is negated to our story. So the Gemara now asks the Kasha, and this Gemara is also a basis for many of the Asukas Gevil Shalas, Lenin the Messiah life, I'll bring you a Raya. Machiti Mesita Sadog, Minadog, Kimloi Mesita Sadog. What does that mean? They were fishermen, and the fishermen would place their bait, and they would put down their nets. So the Gemara says that you have an obligation to be marked if you're another fisherman, and this is in the open sea, nobody really owns this, and you want to set up your net. So what you're going to do is the person set up his net in the morning, and he baited the area, and now all the fish are already heading towards his net. So you go right next to his net, you set up your fisherman's net. But the Gemara says you have to be marked, you have an obligation to go a distance. Kemaloi Maritis Hadog, sort of the vision of a fish, which means whatever fish in that area that he baited already, you have no right to compete and take any of those fish. So that would seem to be a raya that if you opened up your windmill, so the aloha is that another person cannot open the same thing next to you. The kama, how distant he has to go, so you must have apartas, so you must have known there's no raya. Shani dugim, fish are different, the yuf sayra, because by fish, you already went and you placed a bait. And since you placed the bait, like Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yaakov, the father of Rabbeinu Tam, explains to us that once you've baited the area, it's coming to you, you set yourself up in a way where you're going to earn profit. A person has no right to take those profits away from you. That's what the Gemara tells us. Then the Gemara brings two cases where the Gemara says that is a machloikis, if a chenveli is allowed to go and give out candies for the children because he's pulling the children are going to insist to go into a specific store because their mother's going to schlep them to a different grocery store. But the children are going to say, I want to get a balloon or a lollipop in that store. So do you have a right to do that? Not. So the Gemara says, it's a machloikis. So the Gemara says, no, that's not right, because you can always say to the other person, look, I'm going to give out one treat for the children, you give out a different treat for the children. That's not really called competition. Although over here the Gemara says, I'm a locha, so the Abuna Moida, the Omalei, to pastakulei it, let's see, he's doing. You see, the Gemara keeps on coming back to the same point. That when you compete in a way where the other person can exist, it's no problem. But when you compete in a way where the other person can't exist, it's pastakulei it, you're ruining my livelihood, then the halacha is that it's going to be utza. And if you just go to the bottom of this Umar, the Gemara tells us as follows. The Gemara says, Umar attended the Raider of Yeshia. Now there's a member of Rafina Breder of Yeshia. Here you'll see there's a Zion from the Rambam, because the Rambam does pass in, and the Shachnur does pass in, like the end of the Gemara, not like the beginning of the Gemara, like I mentioned. And he says as follows. He says that Chitali is Pushit. Barmusa, Barmusa. Two people that live in the same community. So what's the aloha? Bar Musa, Bar Musa Achrita, if you're coming from a different community to compete with me, Mutsim Akir, then I can say, I'm going to stop you, you can't compete. But Yishayah Pekarga the Hocha, if he pays the same taxes that you do here in this community, so then he has a right to compete in your community. Loi Mutsim Akir. But Bar Mavoya, Bar Mavoya de Nafshe, Loi Mutsim Akir. Two people that live in the same community, the other person is allowed to compete. Now, if you read this Gemara, there seems to be a bit of a stira in the Gemara, because the Gemara originally said that Abar Mavoya Achrina, the Gemara in the beginning said, is Dina Hizikum Akiv. At the end, the Gemara said, you can only be in the Akiv if the person's coming from a different community. So what's going on over here? So the Rosh Hashakasha, the Yosef speaks about it, and they all point to a Abi Yusuf. And the Abi Yusuf was one of the Rishayim explains as follows. He says, if you're coming from another community to compete with me, then the halacha is I can be ma'akif to you even if you're just taking away a little bit of business from me. Which means, as I said, if I live on Avenue M and I have a certain store and you're coming from a totally different city and you're not sharing, like anyone who says, in my taxes, you're paying taxes for a different city, so then I can say you have no right to compete with me even if you're going to take away 5 cents from me. You can't do so. But on the other hand, the halacha l'maaseh that Rabbi Yosef says is that if you both live in the same community, or if I'm also from a different community, then you can compete with me, but with one restriction. The restriction is when it's pasaktilei l'chi yisui, when you're totally undercutting me, or you're competing in a way, for example, like the Achrayim explained, if I earn $100,000 a year by having a pizza shop, and now you open another pizza shop next door to me, and I can't survive, I'm only going to make $60,000 a year, which I cannot support my family for that new number, then I can argue the sakhlachi. So obviously you have to view each community. If the community, because sometimes the community is large enough to keep two stores there. But if you can't keep two stores there, then the aloha is that you sign up for sakhlachi yisui. And the Abi Yosef gives a very interesting case. The case that Abi Yosef gives, which we'll see in a moment, he says there's a movie sutim, which means it's a sort of a dead-end street. And what happens is that one person has a store all the way at the end of the street. And you open up the new store at the beginning, right when you walk in. So nobody ever is going to walk to the grocery all the way at the end. They're going to go to the grocery store at the beginning. So that case that the Yusuf says is Buri Hazeka, and you can sign up for Sakhalas in Yisuri, and that case is Usa. And I just want to add that many of the today's place can write that if a person would open, for example, a large supermarket in an area where you have a small town, and there's many small stores, and once that supermarket is open, you know, sort of like the Walmart concept, all the small stores need to go out of business, and they cannot afford to continue. So then the halacha is that the Sakhtan Chiyisui, that's the classic case of the Avi Yusuf, that Buri Azeka, that's the Master Gevil, which Alpi halacha is also. Okay? Good. So that's why there are many points in the drive that if the community benefits, so then you don't say Asugas Gevil. But that already I'll leave for a shear on Asugas Gevil specifically. I mean, we'll have to go at another time, as Hashem, into Asugas Gevil. And then on top of Asugas Gevil, there are the questions of Marishya. But these are... If you're not allowed to do it. It's interesting, because Chazanish, in the Minhag B'Tochan, has a few lines, very interesting what the Chazanish writes. He says that, what's the chart that the Gemara says, that if a person is competing with you in a way that is Buri Hezeka, that Pesach L'chi Yisui, you should be Ma'akiv. Don't you believe that Rabban Shalom gives you your Panusa, and everything is Minash Shemayim? So if you have the appropriate Amina, why should you be Ma'akiv? The Chazanish mentions this point. The Chazanish writes in the Minhag B'Tochan something very beautiful. He says that if Chazal Paskin, that's Pesach L'chi Yisui, and it's Buri Hezeka, if you're not ma'akim of the other person, you didn't do your appropriate hashtablah. That's what the Chazanish says. Chazanish says that the concept of when the Gemara told you that the person is competing illegally, so then the halacha is that you didn't do your hashtablah, and you should do your hashtablah, you should be ma'akim. So and you shouldn't be playing with the Rabbani Shlomo in such a case. So if the other person doesn't do kedin, absolutely, he should be shut down. It's also for him to do what he's doing. Okay, now, bit of an introduction in the topic of Asugas Gevil was only necessary to go back to our subject on copyright. So the Rambam writes as follows. He says, "Hayisoid hatushka terishon." This is after the Rambam says that the goy is bound by our haluchos. He says, "Empirical yachva." He quotes this Gemara of Bar Mavoyed Oikem Lechaya, which I just read, and Vasil Lochin Yuchel Akavulav. And then the Rambam says as follows: "Im kein, hayi lefenei shem midin." Midineni, Ein Loi Lientaloma, Lientaloma was a printer, Shaini, the second printer, literally is their cloud, Vahagur Hanal Ha Yuchala Akev Olof, the Aluchas that this Gorm has a right to stop him, not to print the set of Rambam, Kefi Sheikhachni, Vahain Mitzvah Ha Dayonim Shal Yisrael, that they should stop him from doing it. And then he continues, he says, Vahagav Sheriff, Varosh, Pas Igaloika Rekhira, like I mentioned, even though the first Rekhin in the Gemara, we don't pascalize him, because he's a yuchid, Mikal Mukim, Oy Manishis, Yashiv Beduga. And the remote quotes the Abi Yusuf that I mentioned in that the Rush quote that says that a movie has stood from the Shloish Studim, a movie that's closed from three sides, only one way to walk in, Rakhtatat Echad, he Pasiah, Livnois Boy, the door even a Kosaifoi, even lives all the way at the end, Hasusim, Ibu Shimon, Ludik and Negatat Tata Pasiah. So this is what the Rambam says exactly our discussion. So he says this case is considered Buri Hazeka, and since it's Buri Hazeka, the second Goyishe printer has no right to compete in a way will undercut and totally put them around part of out of business. He invested all that money into the Mishnah Torah, but if you can get an old Mishnah Torah for a quarter of the price, nobody's going to buy it, and therefore it is considered Buri Hezeka, and the Rambam paskens that it is usa to buy, and a person has absolutely no right to buy the second Rambam. And that's after the Rambam said in the original introduction that we have the ability in our Bezdin to write a fact that the guy is bound by it. It's interesting, the Rambam has four reasons why the Rambam paskens this way. Besides the concept of Buri Hezeka, the Rambam also says that the halacha of Mitzvah Shikra. That means when the Talmid Chacham walks into the shik, so the halacha is that everybody has to stop doing business, and they let the Talmid Chacham do business first, so he can go back to learn his Torah. That's the second reason that the Rambam says. The Rambam also says the halacha of Amistecha, you should be continuing to do business with a Yid, over doing business with a Goy. And then the Rambam writes the fourth reason, there's a halacha that says, Leitishkoin Avla Beveitecha. And the Gemara says, like Tishkan Avol V'Veisecha is, you shouldn't have in your home a Sefer She'eni Muga. If you have a Sefer that's not a good Sefer, that has errors in it, that has mistakes in it, you shouldn't leave it in your home. So the Rambam says, if you have the ability to buy the new print of the Rambam without mistakes, and you go and you buy the original Rambam that's full of errors, so then you're over on Leitishkoin Avla V'Veisecha. Now, if anybody, after all of that, was even tempted to buy that Remu. So I'll tell you what the Remu writes, and what's that? The Rambam. So look what the Remu writes all the way at the end. He says, Gam anachni meskimim. So therefore we're going to agree. Menadim, we're going to make a cherim. Meshamtim, an even stronger cherim. Machrimim, benidi cherim shamta. That's what the Remu writes. The Gzeiris Irin, even Mama Tadishan, this Chayim comes from Shemayim, I'll call Talmud the Tzor of Kutin the Gudol. That's why, Shalom Yikna Shim Udom, Ben Din Esrainim, nobody in our community has the right to buy them and the Tzor from Akadoshim. Alright, Ilad, Oif, Ayoif, 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 only the Rambam called Noram Padova. But from Misha Poyrus, whoever's Poyrus, Yifkeel, Achivet, Rabunan, right, Yishav, Achayim, Rabunan, she's bitten by a snake, I mean, you see the Poshainas here, he says, "V'chol hamachzik b'hem heim b'cherim k'moyhem." If you help to distribute, if you sell to those Rambams, you also b'cherim. In the chiyurim call Yisrael lenadois. He writes these strongest solutions. Lo yechipul lehem ad yemitzim v'keva chumah tehek pirusim lo yaleni and cholival of the Remu writes over here the terrible the shyness. So at the end of this talk, the Remu put out a very strong chiyurim that nobody has a right to buy the Rambam that the Goy printed. Right. Oh, so the Remu addresses that in part of the Shiva, and the Remu says that even though in certain areas of Sugis Gevil you have to be in the same community to compete, he says Sfurim, there are very few purchases for Sfurim, and therefore the world was one market. The Remu writes about that in the beginning. And even if you wanted to chapel with the Remu in Italy, that was your decision. If you wanted to chapel with this list. Obviously the Remu, you know, was known worldwide. I mean, obviously the good luck of the Remu. What's that? It's in print. The Remu wrote it. He wrote it, he printed it, he wrote it, Shiva. And the Remu passed, and there's nobody in the world can buy that Rambam. They sent us some letters, whatever they did. There's no question that this Chayim hit the news. I mean, this is, and I'm sure the Goyim probably knew about this too. I mean, the Remu addresses Shulmachas, he says we have no problem, the Medina will be okay with this. That's the Remu right. He says a limited market, and therefore the Remu, we'll see, there's a difference, there's enough, can we assume there's a limited market or not? Okay. Now, 1 second, now what happens right after this Shiva of the Remu? Now, obviously, if there would have been a concept of a copyright, it would really, really help when a person prints a safety. You see, this Remu is not a perfect example, because as you mentioned before, this Remu is discussing, the person is selling something that's totally different, and he's simply trying to undercut you. But what happens if you would print a Rambam, and in those days, there was no way you have to do the typesetting on your own, there were no copy machines. But today, all you can do is take that original Rambam, scan it into a computer, and within 10 minutes, you can have another 1,000 copies, and you can sell the same person that the other person invested the last 10 years into doing. So what do we do for that? It's very interesting. Right after this Shiva of the Remu, for the next 200 years, in between the Remu and in between the time of the Chacham Sofer, whenever a person printed a Sefer, he would go to Rabbanan and try to get a Haskumah. Go read the old Haskumahs, for example, the Haskumahs of the Shagas Aryeh, and the Chacham Sofer, the whole list of all those Haskumahs, and the Haskumahs were not really Haskumahs, like today, where the Haskumahs today are great Shvuchim and accolades about the Mechaba. The Haskumahs then were Hisurim. They wrote Haskumah, that's the wonderful thing that you printed a Sefer, and therefore, I write a cherem that in the next 10 years, nobody has a right to print this paper. And then they would go and they would write another, some Haskumahs were written for 6 years, some for 10 years, some for 25 years. I have a whole list of Haskumahs which eventually I can print and give it out to the Olam. You can read. It's very interesting, the history of these Haskumahs. And so where did it come from, this concept that a person has the ability to write a Haskumah, and in his Haskumah, after the that nobody has a right to compete with him. Where did it come from? Who gives the rules the right to say that just because this person printed a Sefer, and for the next 20 years, nobody's allowed to print the same Sefer? This is a very, very famous story with Revolf Heidenheim. Revolf Heidenheim wrote the Maxa of the Revu. Revolf Heidenheim, that's the Yerushalayim of the Revu. Many people still have the Pirush HaRevu in their Machzorim, and he wrote a nine volume Pirish on the Machzah and on the Siddur. And when he printed it, right immediately somebody went, they printed the same Machzah, and he started to compete with him. And this was Wolf Heidenheim, got an Itza for 25 years when he printed his Sefer. It was a 25-year chayim in his Askumen. So the Maran Banet, who was older than the Chassam Sofer and was considered the Poitik Hador before the Chassam Sofer, they came to him with this Shalot, this Tempura. And the Maran Banet, it's in Tushish Marathot, in Chelik, Simon Zayim, and Simon Chester, so what that the Rabbunim wrote, Chalumus, and Isirim, and Chalumus, whatever they wrote, what right did they have, the right, an Issa that nobody can compete? Just because I went and I invested my time, and I wrote a specific Sefer, and I printed it, I have to be correct what I just said. Just because I went and I collected somebody else's Machta and somebody else's Siddur, and I was misadrus with the appropriate Pirushim, I went and I took the Rambam and I organized the Rambam, does that make the Rambam mine? The Rambam belongs to the Rambam. I don't even know the Rambam belongs to the Rambam. The Rambam belongs to whoever it belongs to. It belongs to the world. And the Sefer belongs to the world. So what right do they have to give me the ability to answer that nobody is allowed to compete? So the Chassam Sofer wrote a very strong tshuva. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva on this case. And the Chassam Sofer, you have these few copies in its the next couple of pages, where the Chassam Sofer says, no, these Isirim have koichet. And the copyright, it's interesting, the copyrights that the Rabbunim gave have full power. Why? And the Chassam Sofer says that these Isirim started in this man, none other, after the story with the remote. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes. So take a look at the Chassam Sofer. It's a very, very long tshuva, and he discusses all the cases of Yoyel Nisra Haveri. The Chassam Sofer starts off by saying that Yoyel Nisra Haveri is a deraisa, which is a big machloikis. Not everybody agrees that the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer then discusses our concept of your Saira, which is in the Tanai HaRishon. That's on the same page, the left column, the bottom paragraph. That if a person goes and he sets himself up in a way where he baits an area, like the Gemara told us, with the Mitzvah Tzadai, that business is going to come to you, automatically the business belongs to you, and nobody has a right to take away the business from you. And if you go to the next page, then he brings the Abba Yosef that we mentioned. And I'll just go to the parts that are negated to us. The Chassam then says as follows, in the page number 68, and he says, "Mizeh nirulim b'chol melechet shemayim." With all melechet shemayim, the ikel meches leisrashila b'leishayach kinet soifim har b'chochma in lahatu lahazik haveroi. Adarabba, yesh lahachma b'lesay tzei l'migda milsa. There should be a migda milsa that nobody should have a right. If a person took his time and he invested into printing a sefer, nobody should have a right to compete with him. And skip over to the dot in that paragraph. V'hine, in Higi Rabbi Tzvein HaKdoshim, there's a minig by our Rebbes, Asher Yifiyem Onichayim, Imeimeim Onishoytim, L'goyza, Tanaik, Agzera, of a Cherem, Shamta, Al Matfitzim Surim, Shaloi Yatsigi Gvil, Matfitzim Yishoynim, Adzman Ma. There's a minig by our Rebbes that when a person writes a Sefer, they give him the ability to have a Cherem for a certain amount of time. Ividakti the Surim, and I looked into Surim on my own, I found close to 200 years earlier, some type was in the 1800s. Remember, I told you right after the time of the Ramo is when these Haskumas and these Isirim started. The Rambam says that the history of these Haskumas happened after the Maram Padova went and he printed the Surim of the Rambam, the Hitzig Nochri as Kiviloi, the Guza Haremu Yizerusoi, Mikam Ve'elach. From herein, they realized that there was no choice, but the Rabbunim made some new Gezeira, which is not more than 400 or 500 years old, that there's a concept of a copyright on a Sefer. There's no record for it, the Chassam Sofer seems to say. Well, see, the Chassam Sofer seems to say that even if it's a mistake, like always wanted to argue, he has a record, but they made a Gezeira that there is a concept of a copyright, and they started to be goyder the Toitze Teret, Lichtoi Bahaskuma, that the Shlichi Mitzvah should not be Nizokin. In the rest of this paragraph, he had many, many different examples of different Haskumas that had those Harumas, and then go to the next paragraph, on the next column. Ba'fil the name of Chalila, look at some Sofer, even if you're going to tell me Chalila Shetoi, that these Shavuot made a mistake, and there was no, they had no right to write these Isurim and Harumis. On the other hand, the Chamsoifer writes that since it already became the accepted understanding that if you write a Sefer, you have the ability to recoup your money, your investment over the next 10 or 20 years, so what Chamsoifer says, if that's the case, it becomes like Mesudis Hadad. With the Rabbi Yaakov, the father of Ein Tam, told us that once a fisherman went and set up his net, and he knows now the profits are going to come rolling in, so the Tzaddik says that if you set yourself up in a position where you're going to earn money, and the money is headed already in your direction, another person has no right to come and steer away that money which is about to come into your pocket. That's what the some type of practice. Oh, so why is it only for a limited time? So that's some type of explain. Because they figured, it'll take you 10, 15, or 20 years. That's why every sefer had a different time of the issur. The amount of time that they figured it would take you to recover your investment and make some money, that is the amount of time that the issur was for. So that's why some form was 6, some was 10, some was 25.
It should be for 2 days. After 2 days, I should come to the
right. The Mitzvah's Hazard can be limited. And a Hanan. Okay, that's the way in the Asubis Gizil Sadat, the Mitzvah's Hazard has 3 sheets in the Rishonim in Tosfos, I understand. But from Sefer that has approximately 5 pages on it, there's a Shulis Mashal similar to Zub that has close to more pages than that. So it's a big something. So that's why I don't want to go into that. I just want to focus specifically on our point that the Samsoifa says that that's the end of these Harumis, and I'll show you soon other Shuvas that they write that the accepted Alukha Lamasa in most places was like the Samsoifa, not like the Marambanet, and that these Isirim were definitely kept. I just want to tell you there was one of the most famous stories throughout history, and one of the most chavitic stories was the story with the Slavita Shas, right? Everybody's familiar with that story. The Slavita Shas was printed by Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro was the son of Rav Pinchas Shapiro, who was none other than the Chassidish Rebbe, Rav Pinchas Korach's son. That's who it was. The Slavita Shas was printed in 1810. When he originally printed his Shas, he got an Issa for the next 10 years, that nobody could print a competing shop. In 1822, the Shapiro family printed a second shop. This time they got an Issa for 15 years, because nobody can print a shop. So they had the Issa going till 1837. In 1835, 2 years before their Issa was up, they started to print their third shop. But they figured, why do they have to go around to get Issurim? They have plenty of time. Why don't? Because they have 2 more years until their time is up. So they printed the sefer without actually getting an issur. In the meantime, in Vilna, it was the Ram family. And the Ram family in Vilna spent the time printing their own shas because they were waiting. As soon as the 2 years were up, they were going to print their shas. That's what the Ram family in Vilna was doing, and they printed the Vilna shas. Now, the Shapiro family found out that the Ram family was printing their shas, and they got very, very upset because they felt it was still in the Zman of their Issa, and they felt that not only you can't sell, but you can't even print in this man that you have the Issa. So they went and they took the Ram family to Sintora. Kimat, every single one of the Gedolei Olam of that time got involved. There was a Moedig, Machlokes, Kamsoifa Shivas, Maretzma, Benetta Shivas. It's all over. All the greatest Gedolei were involved in this story. One second, it was a Moedig, and Machlokes. This story eventually got to the Bekiva Eger. And Bekiva Eger, who was the good Lador, Paskin, that since the purpose of the Issa was only to give you the ability to recover your money, that in the entire it came out that there were only 37 sets left of the original Slavita Shas printing. So Bekiva Eger Paskin, the 37 sets is a negligible amount. They already had the ability to get most of their profit. Therefore, the Vilna family, the Ram family, had the right to print their shas. Because they get paskin that the Ram family needs to pay the Shapiro family from Slavita for those 37 sets of shas if they can't sell it. That was the start of the Vega. Then there was a Moedig of Machloikis, and this is why it was such a chavetic to Parsha. There was a Moedig of Machloikis because somebody went and spread a rumor that the Shloime Eger, who was the son of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who was a known Mesnaged, got his father, and that's the reason why Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote his stock to go with the Vilna family over the Shapiro family. And Kivega got very, very, very upset about this. And there's a letter from Rabbi Kivega, and Rabbi Kivega writes, he says, for my kovet, I have no exposure. But for the kovet, I tell you, I can't be moichel. And then Rabbi Kivega writes a threat at the end. He says that this is the final psak I'm writing on this subject. And Kivega says at the end that if anybody sends me any more correspondence regarding this matter, I will not pick it up from the post office. You see, in the 1800s, that's how you threaten. But I'm going to leave your, I'll leave your mail at the post office. You know, today I'm going to have to, you have to describe it a bit differently. You know, send it to spam. I don't know what they'll do exactly. But the kids I laughed at, this is the story that happened. It was a very unfortunate story. A few years later, there was a fellow by the name of Lazar Protogen was his name. He worked for the printing press in Slavica. He was depressed. They found him one night. He was hanging. He committed suicide. There was a galach in that city. His name was Father Benderovsky. He didn't like to eat him. He said that the Shapiro family went and they hung him because they were upset that he was slipping out the surim to the galach. That's what he said. They put the Shapiro mishpacha ended up going into jail because of the story. They were there until the Tsar died in 1855, for 20 years. So it was a terrible, terrible story. In the interim, their printing press got destroyed, and they didn't have the ability to continue. The Vilna, in 1841, the Vilna printing press burned down. They didn't have any money to rebuild it. And at that time, the government took over the printing presses, and censorship started. So it was a very, very terrible story. The Tzaddikim of the time said that the reason why it had all of these stories happen was because of a tzaddik in the kovod of the Kivega and because of the kovod of Shem HaChloitis. So, but that is one of the important stories in history. What's that? Listen, when you get involved in a machlokes, it never works. You're right, you're wrong. It could be, you know, you see, listen, I don't know exactly who, but they will blame that they spread this rumor against him. You know, I don't know who this was, but I'll support him. The Kreifisch machlokes never benefits anybody. So that's the important lesson to learn from this story. If you take a look on page number 7, I have the Shiva of the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer addresses this story of the Maran Banetz. And the Chassam Sofer there, in that Shiva writes, he says, on the top of the page, he says, Matrisa Vilna Vaharadme, Lahachnas, he says, why would I, Lahachnas Rushi, then Hoyrim Hagedolim, the Dvurim Shevenam Levena Ravamatib, the Slavita. And he brings the story, he says, all the Rabunim of the time already involved in this story. And then he says as follows. I just want to read you this line of the Maran Banetz, that the Maran Banetz held that there was no concept of a Yisra on a Sefer. He says, in the second paragraph, he says, even though Mishnah Tufti Tei Gimel, so there was sent a letter to some Sefer by Maran Banetz, Kilo Datei, Ein Mukim Lachol Yisigam de Gezeir Shevach Sumayt, the Tamai Ki Dedina Loi Messini Ke Yoitze Bezeir, She Yitzka Rishin Bedin La'akav Al Acha, Abu Achrot. He says, some Sefer says, the Maran Banetz Tana was, what's the basis? Just because you printed something that belonged to somebody else that it suddenly belongs to you. He says, it's not yours. The Rambam doesn't belong to you. The Shas doesn't belong to you. So then the Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says the arguments that we learned till now. He says that Lahagel Peri Ladira. Chassam Sofer writes the strongest Lashonis. He says Mi Pesi. He says a person will have to be a Shoyter to invest his time into printing Surim. If when you print it a Sefer, you're not protected and you can't go and recover your investment. And Chassam Sofer writes, therefore was the minik to all the Doyers, that they actually went and they upheld this Issa, and the Chassam says that Lahalucha Lamasa, we are mechuyev to continue with these Isurim. Now, a few years later, there is the story, as I mentioned to you, that happened with the revolt of Heidenheim, which was in the Rodenheim base of Tzitz with the Machsorim. I mentioned to you already what the Tushis Malka writes, Maram Benet writes. It's in one of the Shivas I have it here, it's in Simon Nemalov. He writes his letter. The Maran Banetz wrote his letter to the Chassam Sofer. And his letter to the Chassam Sofer, he writes a few other arguments. He says, number one, he says that the Chalumas have no koyecha. We already mentioned what the Chassam Sofer responded to that. He says, number two, he says, the Goyim always have the ability to compete when you print a Sofer. The Maran Banetz writes a very interesting Tana. He says, you cannot say Hasugas Gevil when I do something that legally every Goy in the community can do the same thing. So let's say I have a store here in the area that does not have to be owned by a Yid. So any guy in the area, I have a shoe store. So you go and you open another shoe store. So my Baret says, technically speaking, any guy has the ability to open a shoe store in the area. And if that's the case, how could you say that another Yid can't compete? Sure, he could compete because the goyim can do the competition, so then when the Yid competes with you, he didn't really do anything to you. That's the first tana. And the second tana is that the malchus was in control of the government, was in control of the printing presses, and therefore, our sagdin means absolutely nothing. So this is the conclusion that Shiva Memalef writes back. He says both points are incorrect. He says we see clearly that the Rambam already said that a bezin psak is valid on a goy. So the bezin creates a psak. So one of the goyim don't listen to it. Is that a reason that another yid does not have to listen to it? It's mishramet, he says. That's number one. Secondly, the Samsoifa says, he says the government is involved in controlling the printing presses. He says they don't want to control the printing presses. Hilchas asug as they will. All they wanted to do is to take tax from every printing press, but they can make their money. If they make their money, they're very happy. They could care less if you're the one who makes that money, or the other one is the one that makes his money. That's totally not negeya for them. So in that story, Takadi, some sort of Paskin, that they weren't allowed to do it. Now, I'll just mention one more point. You wonder why the Zman Hazeh, nobody writes Haskumas with these Harumas and Isir and so on and so forth, if they started this minute from the Zman of the Ramu. So Rav Ozman, the Shuba, which I have, is connected under the Salvita Shah, Rav Ozman writes as follows. He says, then, a printing press was something that was very labor-intensive. You had to put a lot of work into it. And since you had to put a lot of work into it, therefore you had the right to be in the Kabbal this Issa. Rav Ozman says, this man is there, if I go to a certain library, and I find a sefer that nobody has, and I copy it, and I print it, so that I invest all of those hundreds of hours that some sefer mentioned that entitles me to the restrictions of Mesidas Hadag and the Haskumet. He says, no. He says, because man is there, most people have printed a sefer. They found a sefer in the library, they printed it. So, again, let somebody else print it, he says. There is no, that's why, one second, I'll explain the other Yisurim, which I didn't get to yet, the six possible Yisurim. I'm just explaining why specifically this Issur has become obsolete. Now, I won't say it's become obsolete. There is one Mechaber in the last 20 years that has received all of the last 30 years, that has received all these Yisurim, because he printed a sefer on the level of printing the Torah in those times. The Shapti Frankel Rambam, which Shapti Frankel printed, he also invested this amount of hours and coaches to put out that type of a sefer. And he went around to Rav Moshe and to the Stipler, and they wrote for him Isurim in the same way that the Isurim were written 200, 300, 400 years ago. So the reason why you usually don't keep the Zman Hazeh is for that reason, but that is the reason why, but if a person would print such a sefer, he technically can get it. Now, I'll just bring the time. So till now we spoke about the competition when it comes to somebody else's item, but we haven't yet discussed the competition when it comes to your own item, your own composition, that's rather called intellectual property, that I'll get to Be'ez Hashem in the next year. And I want to tell you that the only way we'll be able to come to Halacha L'Maaseh is about 6 Yesodos in Halacha that we're going to have to explain. After these 6 Yesodos, we'll be able to apply each case, Halacha L'Maaseh, you know, tapes, CDs, computer programs, and all of the above. What's that? But it was minor. But from quite the right, and I know.